Amen. Good song. Appreciate that. And sometimes we just don't understand, but we can always trust Him. He's got it under control, and He's always right. 2 Chronicles 17. We're going to look at several passages and kind of look over them, and there are no points in this message. You say that could be good or bad. Yeah, there's a lot of dot, dot, dots, but no points. It's all introduction. Isn't that good? All right. Usually I give an alliterated outline, but I just really want to talk to you tonight. A lot of passages of Scripture to look at, and really the principle will be very obvious to you. The title will make the principle that much more obvious to you. The title comes right out of the Scripture, and you'll see that here in a few minutes. 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 3. We're going to start off comparing two people. We're going to compare Jehoshaphat and Jehoram. Now, they do have something in common. Their names both start with J-E. I just thought I'd tell you that. That's a deep truth. And actually, their names start with J-E-H. Actually, their names start with J-E-H-O. So they have that in common. Also, the fact that they have unique names, they have that in common. 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord, God of his father, and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Sounds like he's a pretty good guy. What do you think? He loves the Lord. He's trying to serve the Lord. He pleases the Lord. He sought the Lord. He didn't seek Balaam. He wasn't seeking idolatry. He removed the high places and the groves, which are the places of idol worship. And so he sounds like a pretty good guy. I guess we would say I like Jehoshaphat. That's good. Don't like the name, but I like the man. Now, keep your place there, but go now to 2 Kings. Back up, 2 Kings chapter 3. So we've seen Jehoshaphat. Now let's look at Jehoram. 2 Kings chapter 3. And you will see a major difference. 2 Kings 3 and verse 1. So we've seen Jehoshaphat. He sought the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He pleased the Lord. And he actually fought against idolatry and pagan worship and all of that. He's a good guy. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. All right, so they're in the same timeline there. We have Jehoram and Jehoshaphat. And verse 2, he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother. They were total heathens. For he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. So he did one thing good, but basically it's summed up in verse 3. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. So we have Jehoshaphat, who's a pretty good guy. He's doing right, serving God, loves God, sought the Lord's will, didn't fall for idolatry and all that garbage. He worshiped God. But then we have Jehoram, who wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. One pleased the Lord. The other one had no interest in pleasing the Lord. We have two people, total different directions, completely opposites. And then we come to our text. And in the text, we have our title, and that is verse 6 of 2 Kings chapter 3. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art. My people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Now within verse 7 is our title, and that is, I am as thou art. But the question is, was he really? Jehoshaphat said, oh yes, Jehoram, I'll go with you because I'm just like you. No, you're not. No, the Bible's very clear. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. Jehoram did evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, what are you doing? Oh, I am as thou art. My people are as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. I am as thou art. Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight and help us to see what is very obvious in the scripture, where somebody followed a person and somehow justified it, thinking that they were the same when they weren't even close. I pray we as Christians will realize we're not like lost people. We're not better than them. We're just different. You compare us to light in a dark world. We're not like the dark. We're not like the world. We're to be different. We're to be holy. We're to be righteous. And so I pray you'll guide us and help us to see it tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He not only said that I am as thou art, but then he took his people and said, my people. Now, what's he? Well, he's a king. He's saying those that are under me are also like you and your people. Wait a minute, that's not true. That'd be like a parent who is on fire for God saying to somebody who is not, who's against God, who is unsaved and not interested in the things of God, it'd be like that parent saying, well, I'm just like you. And my children are just like your. What in the world are you thinking? That's not true, is it? But wait a minute, we're supposed to be the leaders, aren't we? That'd be like a pastor saying to another pastor who doesn't believe in the virgin birth, who doesn't believe in Jesus and trusting Christ as Savior, it'd be like a pastor saying, well, I'm just like you and our people are just like your people. No, we're not. We're not the same. Jehoshaphat made a huge, huge mistake. And it all comes down to one word, and the word is influence. He was influenced to follow Jehoram when he was nothing like him. I said it this morning, if you don't want to become something, don't hang around it. If you aren't it, don't hang around it unless that's what you want to be. Watch another example is Solomon in 1 Kings 11. We all know the story of Solomon. He's the wisest man, and yet, with all the wisdom that God gave him, he still had his own stupidity. Because he's a human being. And 1 Kings 11, verse 3, and he had 700 wives. There it is. That means he had 700 mother-in-laws. Glory to God. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And look what it says, this last little part here. And his wives turned away his heart. Yeah. Oh, man. If I had a dollar for every wife that turned away her husband's heart from doing something for God, I'd be a wealthy fella. Yeah. What a sad, sad thing. His wives turned away his heart. Here's Solomon. Solomon's the wisest. God has blessed him so much. He has so much going for him. But he had all these wives, and his wives, one might not have, two might not have, three might not have, 299 might not have, but that last one. And they turned away his heart from God. Verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon. So that's what happened. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Why was God angry? Because he let his wives turn his heart. That's why God was angry. There's our word again, influence. Influence. What a bad idea, Solomon. And so verse 11, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Boy, things are not going well for you, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. because you let these women, these wives, influence you away from the things you knew were right, away from that which you wanted to be. You, Solomon, remember when Solomon asked, God said you can have anything you want, Solomon? Solomon said, God, I just want to make wise decisions for your people. And now what's he doing? He's making a terrible decision that will affect the people. It's amazing how that turns when we get influenced the wrong way. It's amazing how people's lives change when we have wrong influence. And by the way, notice what it says in verse 43. Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Oh, that takes us back to Jehoshaphat saying, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. And somewhere along the line, Solomon, obviously, well, just let's read it, chapter 12 and verse 8. Talking about his son, Rehoboam, but he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him, and that was a bad idea. But it was all passed on from a dad who listened to the counsel of a bunch of bad wives who turned his heart. You know, over and over we see influence in the scripture, dragging people down, tearing lives apart, bad influence that does have an effect. And as soon as we get this idea somehow that I am as thou art, he calls us a holy nation, a peculiar people. What's that mean? We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. Not fruitcakes. Not oddballs, you know, walking around, oh, I can do weird things. No, that's not what he means. We're different. When you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, you're different. Most of the world does not. Again, that doesn't make us any better than anybody else. It makes us different. And when we start thinking and saying, I am as thou art, in comparison with the world and the lost, we're headed for trouble. It's happening all over our world. You know, this is true. You see, we watch this. I watch it in our Christian school. I watch it in our church, where you'll have a child that is good and doing right and trying to do things that are good. But as soon as they turn bad, or as soon as something goes wrong and they start doing bad things, there's something that is always present. You just know it's there, and it's influence. I'm not talking about the child that always gets in trouble. I'm talking about the child that is doing right all the time, and all of a sudden they start doing bad. I guarantee there's going to be some influence somewhere. It's that way with teens. It's that way with adults. It's that way with church. It's just that way. That influence. Jehoshaphat, what in the world are you thinking? You are nothing like Jehoram. You are nothing like, your people are not like him. You wanted your people to get away from idolatry. Jehoram's going toward it. Always bad influence. You know, one of the reasons we have a Christian school is to give young people the right influence at all times, as much as we can. You know, the right crowd. Amen. It's sad. Sometimes the wrong crowd gets in there. But you work on it. You try. It amazes me how many people will have this attitude. Well, I trust my child. That's a dumb thing to say. Amen. Paul didn't even trust himself. Paul said, if anybody preaches any other gospel, even if it's me, let him be accursed. Paul said, I might. You shouldn't even trust yourself. You and I, we are so easily influenced. And there's a whole lot of bad influence out there. And it's after us. It really is. It is after us. We have to stay in the right crowd. How do churches fall? How do churches that were once great churches, soul-winning churches, bus-running churches, hellfire and damnation preaching churches, how do they fall? How do they become liberal? How do they finally disintegrate? I'll tell you how. Influence. I don't know how many times I've had men, you know, pastors in ministerial associations. They say, you ought to get in that ministerial association. I say, people don't believe. They don't all believe the same. I'm not going to yoke up with unbelievers. It's what the Bible says. It's not what I say. It's what the Bible says. Oh, well, you know, I believe like you. I said, no, you don't, or you'd get out. I don't, look, I'm not mad. I just don't want to be around bad company. I don't want to be around company that doesn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be around company that doesn't believe in the King James Bible. I don't want to be around company that doesn't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. That would treat it as if it's no big deal. It is a big deal. I don't want to be around company that does not believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and that the blood is the atonement for our sin. I don't want to be around. I'm not mad. I don't hate the people. I just don't want to be. My Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. So I'm better to hang around iron than I am to hang around butter. Amen. That's why I don't join all these things. I don't, and not only not having time, but I don't want to hang around. Again, I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody. I'm just saying they're not like me. It's not like me. I hang around and really don't hang around a lot of people, but I like to be around Brother Vaperzan, Brother Aberger. These are friends of mine. Brother Richter, Brother Dice, people that believe like I believe. People that will not try to change me. I don't want to change. I've been this way for a long, long time. I don't want to change. I don't want to turn liberal. I don't want to, build a crowd off of charisma. Don't want to do it. Don't have any desire to do it. I want to please Him. Well, then I've got to be careful who I hang around with, don't I? Amen. Yeah, look at our nation. Ever, and I know I'm going to get a little bit, but the United Nations. Those people, they're not like us. Well, what are we doing in that? I don't want to get political, but you see the illustration right there, and all of a sudden our thinking it's wacky. Why? They're not like us. We're the greatest country in all the world. Well, why do we hang around people that say otherwise? And they criticize what we believe and what we stand for as Americans. What do we hang around that for? I don't know. Hello. By the way, if it's true with a nation and a church, it's true with individuals too. And that's really what I'm getting at tonight. I've given this illustration years, I don't know when, but when we were down in Louisiana, I was reminded of this. We went and looked at our old house that we lived in down there in Shreveport. And it reminded me of an illustration I used to give a lot. We lived in a little housing development, and there were a lot of people. And right across the road from us, back toward the east, there was a house, and in the house they had three dogs. Actually, no, one family had two dogs, and the other one had one. One family had two dogs. Their names were Biscuits and Grits. I'll never forget that. And they were the nastiest dogs. I mean, they, they're always growling at you and barking. And yeah, you got it. And you'd walk and they'd bark at you as you're walking down the street. And Biscuits and Grits, they'd come running out, and they're a little pipsqueak kind of dog. Dogs that aren't, some dogs aren't even worth the fur they have. Amen. I mean, they're just a little pipsqueak. And I know you may like little Fifi and all that stuff, but I'm just saying, get a dog that's a real dog. Amen. You know, let's move on. So Biscuits and Grits, they'd come running out, and I mean, they were nasty. Well, then the next neighbor had a dog named Cookie. And Cookie was the nicest little dog. Remember that? My wife knows where I'm headed here. And so Cookie would come out and just be a nice little dog, little tail wagging, just happy to see everybody and not barking and growling and everything. But pretty soon we started watching Cookie start hanging around with Biscuits and Grits. I know it sounds like a whole meal, doesn't it? And it was not long. It only took just a couple of days, And they were hanging around each other, and we were walking one day, and Cookie came running out and went, ah, ah, just like biscuits and grits. Why? Because of influence, that's why. There's a key word besides influence, it's conformity. You know, the truth is, here's why we hang around the Jehorams of the world, even though we're not like them, is that we don't want to be different. We don't want to be criticized. We want everybody to think we fit in. We're not supposed to fit in. In fact, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Totally different. Why do we have this idea? You look around at church after church after church in the world today, and they're all trying to be like the world. God says, be transformed. Don't be like the world. Be different. Be transformed. Amen. That's why we don't have dancers up here tonight. We don't have a drum set up here. I used to play drums in a rock group. I think I could still, probably not. But you know what? Listen to me. You say, do you like that? I loved it. I was in it. I enjoyed all that stuff. But I want to please him. And I don't have to be like somebody else. I don't have to be like other people if I don't want to become like that. And I don't want to become like that. Brother, I told this in Sunday school, and I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not mad at anybody. I just, you know, a group of people pulled up where Brother Dale was soul winning. And a bunch of people got out and started raking, and they were doing a good work for somebody. And that was a good thing. It's a nice thing. And they were from a church, and it was a church activity, church function. These are key people, and they're different people in the church and that. And Brother Dale, being out soul winning, he walked up to one today. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Nah, I don't know anything about that. Come on, what are you talking? You don't know anything about that. I think it's nice to do nice things for people, but if you somehow think your good works are going to get you to heaven, you're wrong. You're wrong. Amen. But see, we don't want to be criticized. We don't want to be different. We don't want our church laughed at. We don't want, you know, that's why women and young girls all across our nation are losing their purity because they want to be accepted. Yeah. Influence. Boy, it's a sad thing. It really is. That's why young men are becoming drunks, because they want to be accepted. Fellow one time was at a railroad crossing. This is a true story. And the gates came down and nothing was coming. And after a while, people behind him started honking. They honked and honked and nothing was coming. The gates came down though, but pretty soon people just kept. Finally, he was so embarrassed because everybody was honking at him, he went ahead and tried to cross, and the train hit him and killed him. I'm going to tell you, folks, that's what happens to us when we want to be accepted by everybody else, when we want to, you know, Jehoshaphat, come and join me. Oh, yes, we're just like you. No, you're not. No, you're not. It scares me, some of the influences that we have right here in this room, the different influences from the internet, from television, from radio. You know, I said this, and I've said it many. If you don't want to become a charismatic, don't be influenced by it. If you don't want to become a liberal, don't be influenced by it. Amen. Amen. Because it's exactly what's going to happen. It will affect you more than you will affect them. It never fails. Hezekiah, he was a great king. He was a good man. He was a wise man, had a great revival, but he blew it. How did he blow it? Did he become a drunk? No. Did he commit immorality? No. What did he do? He hung around the wrong crowd. He invited the heathen Babylonians to visit, and they corrupted him. Are you listening? By the way, I don't think anybody here is any better spiritually than Hezekiah. Well, we want to be respected by the heathen. That's why our girls, they want to wear mini skirts, skin tight blouses, low blouses, because we don't want to be made fun of. That's why these skin tight whatever they are jeans that women wear. What do you suppose that's for? I know anything I've ever wore that was skin tight, and I have wore some things skin tight, not on purpose, but because I got fat. I'll tell you one thing, it isn't because it's comfortable. Why would you wear something that hugs your hips? Why would you do that? Come on, don't get nervous. You watch worse stuff than that on TV. Why do we do stuff like that? Why do we wear a top that's so low you can see? Why would you do that? Come on, people, don't get nervous on me. Why would you? Just tell me. I don't get it. I mean, there's only one reason, and there's two possibilities. One, you're acting like a harlot, or two, you don't want people to talk bad. You want to be like the rest of the world. I just don't get it. I do not understand it. That's why, you know, we need to hang around solid Christian people. Yes, sir. Because the world is going to influence us toward hell. You know? And we need to hang around the right kind of people. Jehoshaphat in our text was doing right, but he ended up doing wrong because he yoked up with Jehoram. And that's what's happening today. It's why churches have become Christian rock concerts. They become Christian soap operas. Most Christian TV is just that. And we have Christian swimming parties right down here at a Christian location. We have bikinis. Oh, you don't have to worry, though, because they have a man that sometimes will check to make sure they're appropriate. Do you know how absolutely stupid that is? You say, I'm going to tell them. I'll sign it. It's stupid. What? Well, ma'am, yeah, there's problems. Yeah, right there. That's not quite right. You're going to have to add a half inch. To what, sir? Well, you know. Idiots. People are just, they have no sense. But it's because, here's why. It's because we get hanging around the wrong crowd. You put some people over there with sense and let them hang around independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist preaching, and I promise you this, they'll blush when some chick comes in wearing a bikini. Instead of look her up and down to try to decide if it's appropriate or not. There's nothing appropriate about it. If God says nakedness is wrong and it's sin, and the thigh is nakedness, amen. You say, what all you got on there? No points. You know, one man of God stood up and said no to this stuff, Micaiah. Cost him. He went to prison. Jehoshaphat lost the battle, nearly lost his life over this. One man of God said, hey, Jehoshaphat, no! Don't do it. God spared him. I don't know why. Again, iron sharpeneth iron. Who do you hang around? What do you listen to? What do you watch? What's your influence? You know, it just scares me so much. Amen. It really does. Again, that's why we have a Christian school here. It's why a lot of our families homeschool. Again, we don't think we're better than anybody else. That isn't it. It's just protection. Amen. I don't need a heathen atmosphere. Why would I put my kids somewhere where you can't even use the name of Jesus? You can't even talk about Jesus. You can celebrate any other kind of thing. You can celebrate Ramadan and Peter Pan and Frosty and all the other junk. You can celebrate Halloween. Demons, witches, warlocks, you name it. You can celebrate all that, but you can't talk about Jesus. Oh, it's Christmas. Sorry. Sorry, Christmas is a secular holiday. Really? Well, you know, if you'd have told George Washington that, he might have shot you. With a real gun. Back then you could. Look, folks, I'm just saying, look where we've come. Amen. Amen. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just mad. Amen. Yeah. I you know, my ninth grade English teacher was a heathen. Cussed and swore in class, and that was a long, long, long time ago. In fact, I was a heathen. I wasn't saved in ninth grade. And as a ninth grader, I asked him, do you care if I do my, what are those things called? Board, a collage. We had to do a current event collage. I said, do you care if I do my current event collage on pornography? He said, yeah, that's fine. That'd be good. In fact, I want to see it. And I did. Got an A. And that was, how old am I? That would have been 40 years ago. I wonder how bad it is now. And we act like, oh, it's no big deal. Yeah, you're gonna lose because influence is gonna, it's gonna go against you. Amen. Yeah. I just ask this, why make a child take a stand when you're not willing to take a stand? Why would we do that? Why would we expect, you know, they're supposed to be trained. Train up a child, the Bible says. Train them up. Don't turn them loose to the heathen. And don't turn them loose to these heathen influences. That's why, you know what, if your child has one of those pad things, I'd know exactly what's on it all the time. Because there's perverts out there trying to find your children. Preacher, you shouldn't say pervert. Sodomites, I can use, you know, I mean, Bible terminology, fornicators, adulterers, adulteresses, what other good words do we have? Whoremongers. Yeah, you get the point. Yeah, happens all the time. You know, new converts need a new crowd. We need to be that crowd for the new converts. They need a new crowd. You know, Brenda and I needed a new crowd. I had it all figured out as a long-haired hippie. We did. We had it all figured out, her in her mini skirt and me in my long hair and our hippie attitudes and hippie ways. And we had it all figured out until we went to Marian Baptist Temple and they were a bunch of radical nuts. But we hung around them. I would tell her, I'd say, those people are weird. I'd say, Bren, they are strange. I'll never forget the time right after a service that a couple of the assistant pastors came over and they were talking to us and one of them said something. I said, well, I said, you know, Jesus had long hair. And the assistant, Brother Grayson, he looked at me and he said, no, he didn't. I said, sure, every picture I've... He said, I've got a picture in my house of Jesus with short hair. I said, really? He said, yeah, come over. We'll have some food and everything. Come on over. And I looked at a picture of Jesus, and he had short hair. And then he told me, he said, you know, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And there I was. My hair was here. I said, really? I can trim it. Oh, those people were so loving and patient. But they wanted to, they as a big group, they just took us in, and they influenced us. Amen. We need to influence some people. Again, not because we're better than anybody. We're not any better than anybody. We just need to talk about godly influences and stick around godly people. And iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. Amnon lusted after Tamar. Too bad. Too bad his friend, Jonadab, influenced him. Right? Oh, Jonadab, oh, Amnon, you don't have to worry about that. I got a plan. You'll have a lot of friends that'll plan your destruction. Yeah. Judas, remember when he sold Jesus? And he regretted it. And he took the 30 pieces of silver and he threw them down. And his buddies, remember his buddies that influenced him to turn Jesus in? Remember them? They said, what is that to us? Man, I'll tell you, that crowd, they'll throw you away as soon as they're done with you. They may say they're a friend. I can tell you this, anyone who's critical of this church, they're not a friend. They're not a friend. Anyone who's critical of your parents, young people, they're not your friend. They're not your friend. Anyone who's critical of the Bible, they're not your friend. Anyone who's critical of your godly friends, they're not your friend. Look at their fruit. Amen. I'm just about done because I don't have any points. Look at this verse. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Really wish I had a strong voice today. I'd preach. The Bible says, watch this now. Again, I didn't write this, but boy, this is so good. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Yeah. Make no friendship. You say, well, I think I can help. Try to help. Say, look, come to church. Visit church. Come to church. Amen. But I wouldn't make those the people you hang around all the time. Stay around folks who challenge you to be a better Christian. Stay around people when you say, I did this and it was wrong and, well, I'm not real sure what to do. Somebody says, well, you ought to get on the altar and get it right with God. That's what you ought to do. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. That's what we ought to do. Instead of having somebody say, oh, well, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. It's not as bad as so-and-so. That's talk out of hell. Again, iron sharpeneth iron. You'll never become sharp on butter. I've told the story about Mr. Scorner at Faith Baptist Church in Bern, Indiana. And I had four people who were doing well. They loved God. And one Scorner got a hold of all four of them. And every one of them was out of church. Most of them, their lives were destroyed. In fact, I still am learning of things that happened to those four over the influence of one Scorner. And it breaks my heart. That influence destroyed so many. I can tell you of wives destroying husbands. I can tell you of husbands destroying wives. I can tell you of friends destroying people. I can tell you of media destroying people. I can tell you of the influence of relatives destroying people. False prophets destroying people. Proverbs 29 and verse 12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. Did you get that? If a ruler, a king, or a dad, or a pastor, or a leader hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. Why? Because it influences them. It affects them. Let me close with Jeremiah 17. Say, I kind of like these no points. It goes quick. Jeremiah 17, verse 1, might have to do with a bad voice. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond it is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. You see it? Whilst their children remember those idolatrous, wicked places. You better be careful, folks. Better be careful of that one-eyed monster in your living room. You better be careful of its little small-eyed offspring that are in your kids' bedrooms. And those little medium-eye tablets and everything. And those people next door and the people around and that one at that place and this one at those place. And you say, well, I'm going to become unpopular. I don't think we're in this to be popular. In fact, according to my Bible, we're unpopular. We're going to be unpopular. You say, well, I don't like the way things are going. I don't either. But I'll tell you what breaks my heart, and I think it breaks God's heart, is his people who are saying, I am as thou art, when we're nowhere as they are. And we need to get as far away as we can. This old shift, we all talk about it. You know, as the world moves this way, Christians are moving. We'll go left. As the world moves left, Christians move left. World moves left, Christians move left. Pretty soon, Christians are right where the world was 20 years ago. You know where we should be? We should be way over here. And as they move, we just stay. Let them keep moving, we stay. Well, they'll think I'm weird. I wouldn't worry about what anybody else thinks. I'd be concerned with what he thinks. Jehoram, you know, I am as thou art, Jehoshaphat said, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Micaiah said, that is a lie. Don't be like them. That's what he said. Don't be like them. You don't need to go with him. You need to stick with God. And folks, we just need to stick with God. We're in a unique day. We really are. In every way, every shape, every form, we need to not be influenced by works of unrighteousness. We need to follow what God says and stick with it. Amen. Stick with it. Let's bow our heads.